So it's good to be with you all today to remind us of what God has done to provide for us and all the complexity of things that are going on. I do want to share, though, with you for December 25th, something that Oswald Chambers said. He talks about, how many of you read Oswald Chambers? Anybody familiar with him? But today, he talks about his birth and our new birth. And anyone read that for today? You familiar with that? His birth and our new birth. Just want to share it with you as we begin our sharing with you here today. Behold, a virgin shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. In his birth and history, therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Jesus Christ was born into this world, not from it. Very important, very, very elementary thing to grab a hold of. He was not born from this world. He was born into this world. God planned that. We've been sharing that about Christ the last couple of Sundays about Jesus before he was born. He always was. He did not evolve out of his. He did not evolve out of history. He came into history from the outside. Jesus Christ is not the best human being. He is a being who cannot be accounted for by the human race at all. He can't be accounted for. Everybody else can be accounted for, but not Jesus. He is not man becoming God, but God incarnate. God coming into human flesh, coming into it from the outside. His life is the highest and the holiest, entering into the lowliest door. Wow. Talk about humility. Our Lord's birth was an advent. His birth in me, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. And that, I hope is and pray, is happening in your life, that Christ is being formed in you. You're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You don't think the way you used to think. And by the way, you're back. Praise the Lord. You're back. Praise God. I looked at you when I read this. We're being transformed in the image of Christ. And I know that's true, though, honey. I know that from your trip. I know it before you went. There is a transformation taking place. And God uses all of our circumstances for that to take place. So, wow, you're back. That just dawned on me. She took a quick trip to New Jersey or Virginia. New Jersey to see our Josh graduate from Coast Guard Academy. And Mom was okay with it, and we were praying about it. And 17-year-old heading so far into inclement weather at times, right? Is it Jennifer? Jennifer, sometimes inclement in New Jersey, New York, not very far from New York. And it can be ice. You can have black ice and all those things. But I watched the weather, and it didn't look like it was too bad.
Was good.
So awesome. So I know there's things going on there with you really wanting to do what God would want you to do and make decisions along the way. So I didn't want to break off, and I just saw her. But it is appropriate because that's what's taking place. Jesus, as our Lord, came into human history from the outside. He must come into me from the outside. Have I allowed my personal human life to become a Bethlehem for the Son of God? Wow, I cannot enter into the realm of the kingdom of God unless I am born from above by a birth totally unlike natural birth. You must be born again. This is not a command. It is a foundation fact. The characteristic of the new birth is that I yield myself so completely to God that Christ be formed in me. Immediately Christ is formed in me, His nature begins to work through me. And hopefully the nature of Christ was working through you guys all the way up and all the way back, and God did a work. Who all went in your family?
I'm coming to just let you guys know.
Oh, today?
Yeah.
Who all went in? No one else went in here but you and some friends.
Someone bailed on us last minute.
They bailed on you, huh?
Just to say real fast, because me and Raven, it was really spiritual, physical, because we were praying the whole time. And the day before, Raven was just like, I just have a feeling that Sam is not going to come with us. And I was like, well, let's just pray that we have God's perfect will, whether he come or not.
Yes.
And like, almost instantly after that, he called and he's like, I'm not going. And I had a little bit of fear because I was like, I'm going to be like the main driver. But God totally, it was perfect because all the stuff that Josh had, we wouldn't have been able to have a...
So often the case.
Awesome.
Oh, Naomi. God manifest in the flesh, that is what is made profoundly possible for you and me by the redemption. God in the flesh coming to this earth and subjecting himself to mankind is mind-boggling. I don't think we can grasp the depth of that overnight. I think it takes a lifetime, but oh, how gracious God has been to shed his grace upon us. So I hope and pray that you also are having a successful journey in your travels, even though she traveled from Florida to New Jersey and back. As a 17-year-old, I know as a father, if Carrion did that or Shimmy did that, I would really have to give it to the Lord. I'm telling you, that's straight up, that's the way it is. And I know that people have done that and have headed out and, you know, done all these things. But quite a journey and trust of giving it to the Lord as mom and, you know, for you to trust the Lord to help you along the way, because I know what that weather can be like and I know the perils that can be there. I don't think your trip was probably without any glitches, and so it is in our life. But I want to talk to you today about the day spring from on high. The day spring from above, and that's another name given to Jesus by Zacharias the prophet. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But the day spring, Jesus from above, he's here for mankind, but not everybody wants him. A lot of people today, Christmas Day around the world, is they're celebrating, and Naomi touched on it too, Lord, not just today, but every day. May we remember what you did. Oh, did I say what?
You said Naomi. God.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. I'm sorry. They're twins.
I know. I'm going to have to get their names and bring them together somehow.
Name checks on
them. Name calls. But praise the Lord. Yeah, God does speak, and God does, you know, but we just need to be so grateful to him because he's made a way for us to do this, but not everybody wants him. They do not want the Lord in their life, and so they kind of do their own thing. So many people in the world today, they're celebrating Christmas, but they're not really celebrating Jesus. We know that. That's true. That's the way it is. That's the way it has been. That's the way it will be in the future. But there are those in love with the Lord who understand that without his birth, we can't have his death. You don't have his death. We can't have the sacrifice. We don't have eternal life. It had to happen. But the seed of God in a man, you talk about humility. And to grow up that way as a child, to be birthed that way, to go through all the humiliation that he went through. The day spring from on high. The day spring from above. Another name given to Jesus. Only two times in Scripture was that mentioned, day spring. In Job, the Lord is rebuking Job and he says, "Where were you when the day spring, you know, arrived?" You know, it was like the dawn of the day is what it means. The dawn of a new day, the rising of the sun. And so, and then it mentions again here in Luke. But I want to share some things with you to bring this to the point of our day spring, coming up to that point to help us. But every passing moment of our life, every passing moment, there's interesting things going on. There are occurrences, there are events, and there's happenings going on. And in your own little micro world on Naomi's trip, a lot of things were going on. There were events going on, there were occurrences going on, there were happenings going on. But down here in Nicole's life, same thing. Down here in Laura's life, same thing. Down here in Carolyn's life, same thing. And, you know, Cindy, we all have things that we're going through. This is amazing. At one particular time, you may have a wedding going on, but there's also at the same time a funeral going on. It's just amazing. One person dies in a hospital, in the same hospital somebody's being born. Get this, just recently I got a phone call. Speaking of dying in the hospital, I got a phone call from my brother Gary. My brother Gary said, Debbie Cermak, one of my former students at Chamberlain High School, she's about 53 right now. But when I graduated, when I left Chamberlain in 1976, she was a senior, and she had a hysterectomy at University Community Hospital in over by USF. She had a hysterectomy. She was in her room recovering. And she said to her husband, go ahead and go to work. I'm fine. Everything's okay. Go ahead and go to work. So he went to work. A person came in to deliver flowers to Debbie. And he knew there was something terribly wrong. And he told the people out in the nursing station, somebody was there right away, something's wrong with that lady in there. So they came rushing in, and she had coded. Coded means no pulse, no heartbeat, no breath. Coded means you're coded, you're dead. And so they went in, worked on her for 15 minutes. I think they've got maybe a pulse coming back, or I don't know, to 20%. And she coded again after that a couple of times. Debbie passed away. I remember her vividly, but you know, one of the most glorious things that I remember even back then as a student at Chamberlain High School. Debbie loved the Lord. Debbie loved the Lord. Had two wonderful children. I haven't seen them in years. Last time I saw them was several years ago. Shirley and I were there. Linda was there at Panera Bread. You never know when you see somebody. Like, by the way, the Lord tapped you on and said, this last time you're ever going to see them. You don't know that. And so I got a phone call that one person dies in a hospital room, but I didn't think it would be Debbie. Good health, far as I know, went in for hysterectomy. You know, there can be different reasons for hysterectomy, but evidently it was necessary. But she coded and she died. And this is what, as a Christian, you got to really hold on to the day spring from on high. Jesus. You got to really hold on to Him, or you're just going to turn into a bunch of mush. Unfaithful, unbelieving, just a bunch of mush. Have you had opportunities to do that, Mary? Yes, I know you have. And it happens. Just a bunch of unbelief and mush, and don't know where I came from, what I'm doing here, and where I'm going. But her husband left when she said, it's okay, you go. Go back to work, I'm okay. He did not know that's the last time he was going to see Debbie. Do you think that he has some thoughts about why in God's green earth did I leave my wife? The thought, just think about what went on in his heart. You go full circle now, he's gonna have time to, you weep with those who weep, you laugh with those who laugh. But it was pretty powerful. Now it's going to be very, 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 very merciful, mercy of the God that we serve for him to accept the fact that he did leave and he didn't see her at her passing breath. He's going to have to really trust God that that's was his arrangement. What else can you do? Amen. What else can you do? Just die? Lord, I'm going to die now. She died. I'm going to go with her. So I have no purpose in life. I have nothing else. That was my life. That was my bride. That was my wife. They had our children. And it's too early. It's too early for her to go home to be with you. And you can come up with a lot of stuff and really argue with God and really get angry with God. Not that he is. I know him. I used to play basketball with him. He loved the Lord. And Shirley remembers Paul too. He just really loves the Lord. I know that. I'm not just saying that. And so I don't believe he's going to go there with anger and all. But it's an opportunity to really trust the Jesus that we know that came to this earth, God incarnate, came here for a purpose, into a dark world to help us along our way. I just got that call this last week. She have not had her funeral yet, as far as I know. My brother's going to let me know. Wow. One person dies in the hospital, another one is born. Debbie, our Debbie here. Debbie Smith, June's daughter, was driving, and for whatever reason, I don't know the details, I just know there were some things she shouldn't have been doing, but she hit this car and ran either a red light or a stop sign, hit the car, and the lady inside the car, 71-year-old lady, was killed. And so, as Linda was saying, That's not a situation where I'm going to stay away from. I want to reach out to her and love her. We have the address. She loves the Lord. Yeah, she had some problems. She had issues with certain things. But doesn't mean we throw her away. Or you worshiped with us. You came in here and you fellowshiped with us and you gave your words of testimony at times and you said that you love the Lord, but now you go out and you run into somebody and they die. What kind of a person are you? Well, what kind of person are you? You look in the mirror. Any of us are capable of doing fleshy things. Any of us. I don't care how long you've known the Lord or how many souls that you've witnessed to Jesus. Anybody in here are that close to doing what you want to do rather than the Lord.
Amen.
And to me, I have nothing but compassion and mercy upon any of us that should need to go to our great surgeon, the hospital, the emergency room of Jesus Christ. And nothing but mercy in my heart toward anybody. So we're just going to reach out to her. And I believe with all my heart, sometimes God has to not only handcuff you, but He has to put you in, He has to get your feet, He has to get your hands, He has to handcuff your brain, He has to get you in a full body, some type of a shackle thing for your whole body to save you from the disaster that you're about ready to commit. Can you imagine me standing right here, right now on a 500-foot cliff someplace in North Carolina, any of those places up there, they got, 500 feet. They say that's no big deal. 500 feet in an airplane's not very far, but 500 feet for you to fall is a long way. Can you imagine you being up there? And I saw this before in North Carolina. Shirley and I went up there. We were visiting at the time. We went up there a certain place in North Carolina, and these kids get out of these cars, these little kids, I mean, much smaller than Vanessa. I'm talking about like 6 and 7-year-old kids up on these rocks, these slippery rocks, and they're up there. They think it's a game or something. And down below from where they are is about 50 or 60 feet from where the car, and they're up there, and I'm going like this. I said, my Lord, I said, surely I can't believe what I'm just seeing. And the parents are down here and they're all on vacation and stuff, and the kids are running around. And I can see us doing that because of the loving Father that we serve, because of the day spring from on high. I can see the Lord coming up there and going just like that, grabbing you just like an eagle with claws and saying, enough is enough. I'm going to save you. I'm not going to let you be dashed against the stones. I'm going to come down and save you. And I can see the Lord doing that. I can see Him doing it to Debbie. I can see Him doing it to me. I can see Him doing it to you. Because if anything, we're going to humble it down as we walk with the Lord. We're not going to do the pride thing, but we're going to humble it down. And I can see the Lord grabbing us and saving us from disaster that is there, that is imminent. God, what do you know? What do you know about 500 feet? You see? What do you know about? And yet, so you just take the plunge and you find out about 500 feet and gravity real quick. And so God is merciful. So all I'm saying right now, there's a lot of situations going on. A lot of things going on. Now, at the Moffitt Cancer Center, there may be a child being saved through the practice of medicine and chemotherapy and all these things at Moffitt. They're kind of well known. And at the same time, a child is being saved there in Afghanistan, in Iraq. They're being blown apart. Children. So you have this progression and retrogression type of thing going on in life. And how we react to it, y'all, speaking to myself, is very, very important to the Lord. To not take lightly the Son that was given to us, not an animal sacrifice, but His Son was given to us without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, the ultimate. Sacrifices in the Old Testament couldn't have a blemish that were offered to the Lord. They couldn't be blemished. And so without blemish, here comes Jesus our Lord to be offered for us. And so here we are in a world that is perplexed and bewildering at times. How can someone want to give their body loaded up with explosives to not only disintegrate themselves, but 50 or 60 or 100 people, or however many people they can kill. And it's going on today. And since we left Iraq, it's like a big rushing evil coming right back into that vacuum, which is what we could assume would happen. And the other day, what, 60-something people blown up, and then bombs and car bombs and people, because these people believe, these radical Islamists believe, that they're going to go to heaven and have all these virgin brides and all this kind of stuff, and they're just being sold a bill of goods. It's so sad that so many people are dying. And so I see that part of the world is going to be horrific. Horrific, and we have spent billions over there to do and try to give them their independency. So you see this terrible, this warfare going on in this earth, and we're here, y'all. We're here. But who we trust in all these perplexed situations matters to the Lord. And that is Jesus, that day spring from on high. And so another situation about these contrasting occurrences. I don't know if you heard about this or not. This guy's working and cleaning a muzzle loader. And so he either by mistake or he did it, he just shot it into the air. And a mile away, this Amish girl, 15-year-old Amish girl, was in a buggy in between Akron and Columbus, Ohio. And that bullet that was shot in that muzzle loader hit her in the head and killed her. 1 mile away.
What?
Incredible. That's what I said. What? An Amish girl a mile away from a man who shot a muzzleloader into the air, hit her in the head at the right exact clippity-clop, clippity-clop with her horse on that day at that precise second, and he had to pull the trigger at that precise second, and all the events took place for him to be there to pull that trigger at that precise second, for her to meet that bullet on that day under those circumstances. It all came together. 15-year-old innocent Amish girl on her way to wherever she was going. Maybe to go home, maybe to go away from home to the vegetable market, or maybe to go visit somebody, or maybe to take some clothing to somebody, or whatever. I really felt that. I felt it in my soul. Because, what a tragedy. The man who shot it didn't mean it. We were always told in Ohio we had guns. We hunted a lot. Be careful about shooting into the air. They're all coming down someplace. In that, how many of you heard about that, what I'm talking about, the Amish girl? What tragedy. Well, turn with me if you would, because God talks about this. Ecclesiastes, many of you heard about this before. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to have these situations on earth. We're going to have them. It's not that we're not going to have them, because we are. It's how we handle them. It's who we look to. We have Jesus to look to. The world does not have Jesus to look to. They have to try to figure it all out themselves. And I tell you, I would not want to be on this earth trying to figure this all out myself. There is an appointed time, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I know you've all heard this before, but this is understanding. This is a new day. Please understand what's going on here. Ecclesiastes 3, starting with verse 1, there's an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. Debbie gave birth to two children. The other day she died. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. I plant things, they grow, they bear fruit, but it's time for those tomatoes, or it's time for whatever there was there to be plucked up because its mission is accomplished. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. Verse 6, a time to search and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? Anyhow, Proverbs goes on, but how many of you for certain have heard about Ecclesiastes chapter 3? We certainly have, and wow, how it applies to our daily life is another matter, isn't it? All these events taking place can be, how many of you understand, confusing, perplexing? The Amish people, by the way, a few years ago when the milkman came, locked the doors of that little Amish schoolhouse with all those precious children in it. I believe they were all girls. And he decided to be their executioner, and he killed several of those Amish girls. I think one or two survived. The milkman locked them all in there, and the Amish did not hold bitterness in their hearts, but looked at it as God is in control. Now, I don't know where they were spiritually, but I just know that is a foundation of their faith. We do not hate because things happen to us. We don't live that way. They teach that. They teach that, you know, we don't kill. We try to do those things that promote life. But anyhow, they tore that schoolhouse down and they built another one someplace else because they didn't want it to be a memorial to remember that every time they went by it. But here it happens again to the Amish, and in this situation where it was not intended, but there's a loss there, and they have definite acquaintance with her, the parents. And can you all relate that God wants to hold us close to Him in all these things that are going on? When I go see Joseph, now it takes 4.5 hours to go up there. We spend Friday night, we go the next day, we come back that day later on. You get back around 7:30 or 8 o'clock, depends on when you leave or how many stops you make. But when I see him, I told him, I said, I don't want to break you, your bones when I embrace you, but Joseph, I love you. I just does not want to be where he is. The key, though, for us who have been cornered by God is to look to God. That's the key. That's what he wants. I know you messed up, but I want you to know how much I love you. I want you to know how much my love is for you, that I had sent my son for you. I want you to know how much I want you unto myself, no matter what you have done. There is one sin that is unpardonable, by the way, and that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is just basically just turning away God, just turning him away, shunning him, say, no, 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 I don't want you, attributing the things of God to Satan. Yeah, I don't want you. You can't be forgiven for turning God away. He wants us to turn to Him. Turn to that day spring from on high. To have what? What's the bottom line? What's God want for us? What does God want for mankind? He wants us to have what?
Life.
Eternal life with Him. That's what He wants. And sometimes in the process down here in this earth, He gives us the free will to think the way we want to think and do what we want to do. Sometimes I picture, in the past, I pictured myself, and I use this description, you could be so angry, you picture yourself taking a chair to do what you want to do, to express your anger, and just throw it through that window, and then go outside and pick it up and throw it back in. Have you ever? That's just a way to express frustration. Or getting a plate, use it like a frisbee. Plates aren't frisbees, y'all, the Lord said. You know? But how many of you know what I'm talking about? Picking up something and throwing something to express your exasperation. And those are the times when God wants you to give it to Him. He says, I understand how angry you are. I understand that you don't understand why she's doing what she's doing or what he is doing. I understand that. I know that. But you got to give it to me. And by not running, you can work it out. How many times have we talked about this? How many times are you going to do that? You know, over and over again, just a repetitive. And the Lord is saying at the same time, every time you say that, may that reminder you how many times God is saying, how many times are you going to do that? And God doesn't throw us away. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Can we say that together? Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Have you been doing that? Have you been doing that? There are times when you just don't want to stand there to see the salvation of the Lord. You want to take action and do something about this. Because you're not a what? You're not a wimp. You're a man or a woman of action. I'll show you. I'll take action. And the Lord doesn't want us to take action. He wants the Holy Spirit within us to take action. And whatever that is, will be successful. We need to do it His way. It's easier to trust Jesus in all these situations to be able to cope with so many situations than doing it yourself. It'll only be disastrous.
I had a friend years ago. She had quite a temper. And she got with her boyfriend. And they raised chickens. She had a bowl full of chicken eggs. And they started getting into it. She just started taking these eggs and just slamming them down on the ground. Like, okay, I'm leaving now. And I kept on thinking on the way home, what a mess to clean that up, you know. And every knick-knack in her house was glued together. She's just that way.
We grew up with knickknacks glued together. Throwing the ball in the house, etc. But the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Are you all learning that? Is Mark learning that? I'm with y'all. I'm not speaking, you know, I'm with you. The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Never has, never will. But Jesus in us, the day spring from on high, will achieve the will of God. Except you're going to have to die to yourself. The problem, we've talked about this before, with a sacrifice on the altar is a tendency to want to have to crawl off. You got to stay up there. You got to die. That's what Jesus did. See, if Jesus didn't do what Jesus did, We could not do it. But He has gone before us, making a way for us to do what He told us we can do. Otherwise, it'd be just a big tease. God would just be teasing us. I want to see what these earthlings can do. And watch us mess up and obliterate each other, because we would. If it wasn't for the restraining work of the Spirit on earth, this world would be history, and it's heading toward there. We know that. And by the way, how many of you believe or even fear just a little bit that the world is going to end in 2012. I have a word for you. Even if it does, what does that matter to me? The Mayan calendar will end in 2012. What's the specific date?
December
21st? The first of the winter solstice. Of the next 2012. The people, we talked about it in the back, the people in that culture are going to get millions of dollars this year because of making up little things in the world type stuff, and they're going to be selling a lot of this stuff marketing wise to make a lot of money on this. But unless the Lord tells me, I'm not going to tell you that. He has not told me that. And by the way, the scriptures say no man knows, not even the Son, but the Father alone knows the day and the hour. And there will be a day, there will be an hour. God is very, very punctual. He's always on time. So I just want to encourage you, You're going to hear a lot about it, about 2012, the end of the world.
You talk about Mark and what they're doing, is they've already said that they've started Mexico resorts, starting a year-long party.
Yes.
To celebrate
yes.
the end of the world. And that's booking hotels and booking parties and so forth. And that the whole country of Mexico is supposed to be, going to be, they look like they're getting $22 to $24 million worth of extra tourists because of this.
It's going to be a marketing phenomenon there for them. Knowing what you stand for limits what you fall for. Let's say that one together. Knowing what you stand for limits what you fall for. In every other worldview, every other, you know, that you hear out there, philosophical views of this world are all rubbish compared to the foundation, the very cornerstone of Jesus Christ. It's all foolishness. Hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ came to this earth to be born, God incarnate, Mary, the seed of God, it was all prophesied to the detail. That's the God that we serve. There's no other God that has a plan, that is in control of everything that goes on, but the living God. Paul, you talk about trials, after being stoned and supposedly meant to be dead. I mean, they stoned him because of what? Because of his relationship with Jesus Christ. He was a persecutor of the church. Now he is an evangelist for Jesus Christ. He's telling the story. He goes through all the detail of the story, starting from the fathers and the prophets and telling the Jews and all these things. He's telling them all about Jesus, making it very clear. And some said, yes, we believe you. And some said, no, we hate you. You got to die. Can you imagine killing someone who's telling you how to have eternal life? Well, it's illogical. But it's there. It's in the world today. And so here we have Paul. They stoned him, supposing to be dead. He arose and went with Barnabas to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, telling them, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Can you imagine that as he got up from that stoning, and he went and told these people that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. It's like a birth. It's like a birthing. You're going to go through tribulations, even on a trip that is meant for a good purpose and all these things. You know, hey, man, we love Jesus. You know, you can be rocking out with CDs or anything, but you're still going to have tribulation. I don't care where it is. It's like a birthing. It's like a squeezing. Tribulation brings patience. Without tribulation, you're not going to get the patience that God is after, so you're going to have to tribulate. You're going to have to shut your mouth at times. Or you're going to have to open your mouth and say, I'm sorry at times. Or you're going to have to do something that you don't want to do at times. When it's not within you to do it, you're going to have to do it anyhow. And you don't have to say to somebody and look at them in the face and say, I really don't want to do this, but I will. Because I'm a Christian. So I really want you to know I don't want to do this. You got to watch your attitude, how you do something. And you can't just not say that verbally, but in your heart you can't be doing that. I don't really want to do this, but I will, God. You know? Sometimes those kind of tribulations are going to be there. You have to settle down, humble it down, and receive what God has for you in order to deliver Jesus Christ. Not you. Deliver Jesus. And so, can you imagine Paul being stoned? And I don't think after being stoned, all the scabs are going to be healed yet. He went to these cities after he was stoned. They meant to kill him, so you're going to have scabs. He was bashed. He was meant to be killed with stones. I got a lot of stones at my house right now. I got 6,000 pounds of North Carolina River rock over here on the left side of my driveway with a 3,000 pound boulder, and on the right hand side I have about 4 more thousand pounds. Ooh, 1,500, another 1,500 over there. I don't know, 12,000 pounds of rock around my house right now that I can imagine picking up one of those. I mean, about like this, about like a grapefruit. I asked Drew one day, I said, Drew, this is pretty rocky over there. And he said, oh yeah, there's plenty of rocks over there, because you see them throwing rocks all the time over there in the Middle East. stoning Paul to kill him. And now he comes and he says, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And he's got all this dry blood on him and wiped off the best they could and all these scabs all over him. He said, man, why? How are you talking to us? They meant to kill you. Stoning to death is what they meant. And yet he goes and tells them, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And sometimes we think, because of what somebody said about our cherry pie or our apple pie or whatever it is that you bring to a dinner, somebody, and it hurts your feelings so bad, would you want to change places with Paul? I mean, if Paul changed places, he wouldn't change places. I know he wouldn't, because he was who he was. Through much revelation God gave him, God said, you're going to suffer. Much revelation. Wow. Do you think a lot of people today are thinking this way on Christmas Day, a day where they are doing whatever they're doing, but yet not really thinking about Jesus? I grew up with all that, and even laying under the Christmas tree and smelling the pine, going to bed as early as I could to get up to get the presents. It was the most exciting time in my life. But I wasn't thinking about Jesus. Oh, baby Jesus, I wasn't thinking about him. I was thinking about, what am I going to get? And what are we going to eat? Thanksgiving and Christmas, those 2 days were very big to me. What's that mama cooking? Today I want us to go beyond that. Think about Jesus, the life that he gave, that we may have life. Really, really, tomorrow, December 26th, I want it to be so special to you. December 26th. I want, and God wants for you to have so special of a time with him, December 27th. And on August the 13th of this year, or the day that they say the world's going to come in, I want you just to be worshiping God, thanking him for Jesus, way beyond December 25th. Way beyond December 25th. Every single day. One of you guys in your prayers today mentioned that, about not just on you meant it, didn't you? I know that. You're really blessed. You know that? And I know you know that, Lisa. To have.
She taught me that as a little kid. Every day we have to repeat it every day.
You'll know a tree by its fruit. I thank God for your family. I really do. I thank God for what's going on over here, trusting Jesus no matter what. Right, Carolyn? God's not through with him yet. Mm-hmm. Who's him?
Warning, it's
close. I didn't say his name. I'm off the hook. We got to hang together. But God's not through with me yet either, and Shirley knows that. I'll tell you what, if you really love Jesus, you're really going to live it.
Amen. That's right.
And I want to say something to you that is pretty powerful, and I hope you take it and do something with it, about days. About esteeming days. I want to share scripture with you. Romans 14:5. If I'm going to tribulate tomorrow is just as much as I do today with Jesus. But Paul had something to say, this man who was brutalized, this man who suffered, says something about days. And he says this, Romans 14:5. One man regards King James says, esteemeth one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. Who do you think Paul was talking about when he said, one man regards or esteems one day above another, another regards every day alike? Who do you think he was talking about? He was talking about not just himself, but other people. But I just want you to know, I'm getting from God's Word to esteem or regard every day alike. I know this is December 25th. I know how I have felt in the past about all the stuff and all the accoutrements and everything going on and family getting together and all these things. But as I look to the Lord and I understand His Word, every day to me is called today. If anybody wants to wrestle with me about this, you can do it anytime you want. Not physically, but tell me I'm wrong. Or else, what a shame for me to wake up tomorrow morning and believe that tomorrow is not as esteemed as today. Wow. We show affection, we give gifts, we do these things. And you know, see, if God sees the heart of how things are given. But give it every day. And we say, yeah, I do every day. But really understand that to regard every day, every breath, every heartbeat that we have as a day with Jesus, walking with Jesus, is what He wants. Really hold that to your heart tightly. And I want to say this too, and if you would turn with me about the day spring from above, the day spring that is here to help us. I know this is a day where a lot of you are probably going to get together and have a wonderful meal or whatever your plans are. And I'm thinking of that too today as being an opportunity where in our world today to have a schedule on a calendar that allows you some days to do that is awesome. Praise the Lord. I like getting together with my family. But let me just share a couple of scriptures here about Jesus coming, and then I'll make a point of something else about the accolades of Christ. Isaiah 7:14 says, in prophesying about Jesus, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Well, you talk about a sign. I'm talking about not just a sign, but an event. You know, you talk about a sign, a woman having a child that no man on earth inseminated her. I mean, can you imagine what she went through? I mean, I just, wow, but an angel, it was so powerful. An angel comes to her and tells her, this is of God, okay? Don't be alarmed, this is of God. And she believed that, and she worshiped God for that. This was 700 years before the fact. And then Isaiah 9:2 says, the people who walk in darkness, that's you and I, will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Without light, man, you grow up in darkness. We grow up in darkness. That's where I was without Jesus. Without light, Jesus is the light of the world. That's who came to this earth through Mary. So many, over 2,000 years ago, but He existed before that. We know that. In 9:6 of Isaiah, it says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And I have some other names here too that you've heard before. All those names about Jesus 700 years before He was even born through Mary. Son of Man, He was called. Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, Rabbi, Teacher, Master, Ruler, Messiah, Son of David, Seed of Abraham, prophet, priest, king, judge, Lord, the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God, the blessed hope, the truth, the last Adam, the bright and morning star, the Word, the chief cornerstone, the chosen of God, the only begotten Son, the bridegroom, the mediator, the hope of glory, the advocate, the true vine, the bread of life, King of kings, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. In addition to all those names, there's one other one. I want to wind down here with you today. In addition to all these names and accolades of Jesus Christ, there's another one given to him by Zacharias. Would you turn with me to Luke? Luke, the physician, wrote about Jesus along with the other Gospels. He wrote his version. And Luke, the physician, says about the day spring from on high, Zacharias is speaking prophetically. And in verse 76, Luke 1:76, Zacharias is talking about John the Baptist. And he says, and you, child, he's talking about John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the Most High, capital M-O-S-T, Most High, talking about Jesus. He's saying that John the Baptist will be a prophet of the Most High, Jesus. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare His ways. And verse 77, to give to His people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. And verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high shall visit us. And the New American Standard Bible says, sunrise from on high shall visit us. To do what? To shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He's here to guide us. Jesus said, I will receive the gift of the Father to give to you, but I got to go through this process. I got to go through this birth and death to receive from the Father the gift of the Holy Spirit to give to the church, to give you illumination, to give you light, to give you understanding. The world today is in a very dark place. And if you do not know what you stand for, you are very vulnerable to fall. Know what you stand for limits what you fall for. Our young folks are able to share with young folks who are just going nowhere fast and be able to share with them there is a life here beyond this life. But it's through Christ Jesus and only through Him can you have that eternal life. Do you want that? Because anybody in this earth, truly, if you ask them, what if I could give you anything in this earth, what would you want? The bottom line would have to be eternal life. And after all these names that I just list, all these names about Christ, the names that they have for Him, and I know you've heard them before, we have Zacharias giving Him the name of the sunrise from on high or the day spring from on high. Day spring is a word that means the rising of the sun or the dawn. So Jesus, unless He has risen in your hearts or has dawned in your heart the light of the world, you don't have light. And there's nowhere else to get it. And I know the world today, there are a lot of people celebrating a day of Christmas around the world, but how many are thinking about the day spring? How many are thinking about Jesus who shed His blood for them and gave His life? And the humility of Christ who was born of a woman, this man on earth, God who always was, comes to this earth to be born, to be circumcised according to the law. And all the things according to the law, He obeyed. But He came to fulfill the law, not to do away with it. And those are other teachings. What a mighty God we serve. I serve the day spring from on high. I serve Jesus who was with the Father in the beginning. And God's great plan. I'm in God's great plan. I'm on my way to the kingdom. I serve the living God. I serve Him who was with the Father in the beginning and made all things through Jesus Christ. God made all things. And Hebrews tells us that. Scripture after scriptures tell us, as we shared the last couple of Sundays, about Jesus there in the beginning. And here He is. Where is He today, though? gee, he would be over, Jesus would be over 2,000 years old. Where is this 2,000-year-old man? That's because he's not a man. He came to the earth, went through that process, and now he's with the Father, seated at the right hand of the Father, and ever lives to make intercession for you and I. Is life complex at times? Heartbreaking at times? Throat choking at times? I remember my throat getting choked several times over a relationship with a girl. Oh, either I don't love you anymore or you don't love me anymore. It's always better if you do the unloving than they do it on you. And you feel it, and I have felt that. I can deal with it better, you know what I'm saying? But to be put down and say, I don't want to be with you anymore, was more hard than you saying, I don't want to be with you anymore. And it was throatish. Have you ever had a lump in your throat? Is that similar to all human beings, or I'm the only one who experiences that? Why is it that way? Why is that there? Why do we have a lump in our throat? What causes that? Have you ever gone to a doctor to ask him to explain that?
No.
Do you know who did that, though? Who caused that to be there? God arranged that. I mean, he may not be able to explain that. I don't think anybody can explain that. But it's there, is it? Y'all experience that? Can you explain the when you get rebuked or chastised or spanked? Sort of a lung shivers, whatever that's called. I had them. I had to deal with that till later on in life. I really had it up until I was in high school, and even in college when I would get chastised or something. I would feel that. I would have that trembling. But when I came to Jesus, it really dealt with that. I really was able to deal with that in Jesus. But it was, to me, it was real. A lot of men may not admit to that, but they have the little lung shivers too. I know that. It's there. But complex at times, why Debbie die? She's young, fairly young, and tells the husband to go to work. I'm fine. All she had was a hysterectomy. She didn't go to the hospital to die. She went to take care of something she had need of. And her husband didn't leave because I'm sure I'll see you again, you know. But he didn't know that. But he didn't leave because He knew it was the last time he'd ever see her. He thought it was going to be okay. But God is in control. The little Amish girl, whatever she was doing, clippity-clop, clippity-clop, clop-clop-clop-clop, clop, clop, boom. I want my timing to be God's timing. I don't want to go anywhere until it's God's time to tell me it's time to go. But I want the day spring from on high. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to be so in control of my life that nothing happens without His permission. Praise the Lord. That's the God that I serve today. Many, many scriptures, we won't go into them, but we know that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And He came into a world. And by the way, I do have the day that Jesus was born. I know it. It's no secret, but I have it right here. You want to look at it? Luke chapter 2, without going into the whole story. Luke chapter 2, verse 2, something major just happened here. I'll talk about that major in just a moment. Or a corporal, private, whatever it is. No, I'm just kidding. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, for today in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, there has been born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. We'll find a baby wrapped in clothes, swaddling clothes, King James says, and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." We have His birth date, and it's called today. Do you like that? I do. Do you ever want to know what His birth date was? There it is. For today in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, there is born to you a Savior. Now, how am I going to look at that tomorrow? For you today, Jesus Christ is born. You understand, it's always called. Hebrews says, harden not your hearts. He talks about today. Do not harden your heart. Today. Capital T-O-D-A-Y. So may the Lord bless you today, tomorrow, the next day, with an understanding of really knowing when Christ was born. He was born at the appropriate time on the day that God chose. But He came into the world. He didn't come out of the world. We know that. But it's encouraging to be told, reminded of that once again. Praise the Lord. So if anybody asks you when Christ was born, you tell them He was born today in the city of David. There was a Bethlehem. He was born. But He was from the beginning. So go find that day. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's His birthday. And Jesus, by the way, they asked God, "Who shall I say sent me?" Moses did out in the wilderness, and God says, "Tell them I am sent you." And Jesus also repeated to someone, He says, "I am." That's who He is. That's the God that we serve. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Right at the end, it's okay, man. It's just get here when you can. It's good to see you. Praise the Lord. For all you that may be listening, I'm going to hear you in just a moment, Josh. For all you that may be listening to this message today about the day spring from above, I pray that it'll be beneficial to you and insightful to you, and to understand that all things are possible through Christ Jesus, and that without Him, there's a groping in darkness to try to understand it yourself. There may be somebody listening to this that is hurting, and you really, really are in a lot of pain, maybe physically, maybe mentally, maybe spiritually. I want to encourage you to give it to Jesus, the One who was born and died for you. And He loves you. He wants you for Himself. He has a purpose for you. He has a life for you and a destiny of eternal life. Without Him, there is eternal separation, damnation, and hell. Those are strong words, but that's the destiny of those who do not walk with Jesus. Praise the Lord.